Okay, it's over.
Season is done, but we've got a very, very good podcast on hand for you. Usual Wednesday one. We tried to get one going there in New Orleans, but the problem is once you're actually, like, it's, you know, all the plans just go to complete waste once you're in the Crescent City because there's so many media obligations and then other obligations. So Parrish and Goodman are here. We're going to do the Final Four wrap-up and I guess a season wrap-up of sorts as well. Gentlemen, have you recovered yet from the week-long extravaganza that was New Orleans?
Hold on. Let's don't start this by lying to people. You're trying to pretend that,
like,
we didn't...
media obligations after it ended? Come on.
Is that why we really didn't do a podcast, Orlando? Or is it because somebody named M-A-T-T likes to drink a little too much?
Okay. Again with the lies, man. I mean, you threw me under the bus on Twitter, and now I'm getting it on the pod.
How many mornings were you there, and how many of those mornings did you not do wake-up call because you were intoxicated? Put a number on it. Maddie, like, numbers.
Six.
Do we need to get Kempom on this, or can
well,
you?
Well, I was there for. All right, let's break this down here. Let's get efficient about it. All right, there are never wake-up calls on weekends.
But there should be.
No, there shouldn't be. Okay?
Absolutely. You're slacking.
Yeah, you say that until you are the one that has to do those wake-up calls. Only one of those days was I truly affected by the previous night's adventures, and that was on Friday. Thursday, I straight up just did not do one. But then I did one. See, just for you, Gary, it was like Monday morning at about 3:45 in the morning, and I was like, if I don't do this wake-up call, like, Gary might actually try and get me fired and not let me go to the title game. So I actually did... I did do that one, and then, of course, then it's done. It's done for the year.
Parrish, we know what he meant by media obligations after the championship game.
What?
He had to follow the ball.
Oh, that wasn't even going to bring it up.
He had to follow the basketball. He heard Orlando Antigua still had it, and I think he ran over to the team hotel.
Hey, listen, both you haters, that got more positive reaction. All year, so
only. Come on, man.
I'm serious.
Seriously,
I'm dead. I am dead serious.
You can't.
You know what that's like? Let me tell you what that's like. That's like when a girl goes and gets like her hair. She's gonna get a new hairstyle, right? And everything, and she's gonna try to go off the charts a little bit. She's gonna try something new, and it looks ridiculous. Everybody knows.
She goes bald, and everybody tells her how good she looks.
Yeah, but the difference is like you see it.
I really like that purple. I really like that purple perm you've got now.
Or it's like when Parrish brings along his satchel and his scarf, and everybody tells him how good he looks.
Yeah, imagine. But the difference is you see that person in person, and you're obligated. In Twitter, no one's obligated to tweet at me to say they really thought the column was a great idea. So,
hey, come on, you know I can search your Twitter, don't you? Don't make me find all the positive things that people didn't say about you.
Oh, absolutely, you're completely allowed to during this podcast, even. And listen. You know what? I took a chance. It was a little creative. I'm glad I did it, even if UK's SIDs kind of blew it up there at the end. So
I'm glad you did it, too, because otherwise I don't know what we'd have been making fun of you about the past 2 days.
Oh, yeah. And listen, you know, I was telling my fiance last night when I got home, like, I think everyone might hate us because, you know, during these media sessions, we go in. Every day, basically Thursday to Monday, if you're in media, you're obligated to go to the dome and get your prep stories, or actually go to the games and watch the games there. And so there are about 30 rows of tables that are about, you know, 60 yards long, because there's, you know, 800, 900 credentialed media there, and you're there to write and do your work. But there's conversation that goes on, and then there's what goes on, like, when the four of us are sitting together. And God bless Dennis Dodshart, our colleague who was sitting there with us, but wasn't really getting in on the act. But we're talking like, I mean, Borzello was sitting there for 4 hours and had 100 words done on the page, which actually is pretty terrible, to be honest. I mean, like, at some point you have to be productive, but I'm pretty much blaming the both of you for being the kids in class that couldn't stop joking with each other. And unfortunately, there was no real teacher to kick us out, so to speak.
Yeah, at some point, I believe somebody said, I wonder if the CBS guy, do the CBS guys even ever work? And the answer to that is, yeah, we just space it out a little bit.
We work efficiently.
Well, that's the thing. It's like at any moment, you could kind of have glanced over at us and seen Parrish with a tie on that doesn't even reach his belly button or a broken sandal. But then, you know, 2 minutes later, it's like, oh, by the way, just broke Mississippi State's head coaching hiring. So, you know.
Like, we don't try, I hope. We don't try to take ourselves so seriously. That's why, you know what, and let me be, you never see, I don't even know how to say this without sounding like an idiot, but I'm just, you never see, like, the quote, bloggers hanging out, you know, of like, of different websites, like hanging out with other people who work for, you know, mainstream media outlets. Those people always hang out with us. You know why? Because we know how to have a good time. Because we don't take ourselves so seriously. And yeah, that might mean we could throw up on you at any point, right? But we'll have a good, we have a good time. I think, like, swag. My guy swag.
Wait. Don't even talk about swag.
That's my guy now.
What is swag?
My guy swag.
you don't even know what that is.
My guy who was famously at the press conferences at the Final Four and then at the championship game, who prefaced his question each time with swag. He wanted to compliment the Kentucky players on their swag, right? So I thought this was the funniest thing ever, because – and this may play into exactly what we're talking about. As soon as he does that, there are mainstream media people who go, I cannot believe that person's in here. And meantime, I'm going, that is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. This dude just said swag live on national television to John Calipari. So I'm loving it, right? So I tweet about it, and he comes over and introduces himself. And now I think – I don't want to speak for him, but I think we're best friends.
Okay. Do you guys want to talk about basketball first, or you want to talk about New Orleans first? We should probably do the hoops first and then get to a few stories that we're
– What do you need to know? Kentucky won the championship.
Right.
Anthony Davis was awesome. What happened? Jeff Withey had struggled offensively against Anthony Davis, but he's not a great offensive threat anyway, and everybody kind of does against Anthony Davis. Bill Self's team made a run late to make it where you could make all the Kansas-Memphis 08 jokes there for about 2 minutes, but then Kentucky pulled away, and it's all about the kids, according to John.
All about the kids. I was going to say that. Don't forget about it all being about the kids. It's not about John Calipari.
I don't even know why I mentioned his name. It's so much not about
him. Can you delete that, Matt?
Yeah, I can edit that out.
It's all about the kids. So let's not put his name on this podcast.
Okay. Well, how about this? Is John Calipari?
Hey, you did it.
What?
No. I don't care what. No, listen.
Let's talk about the kids. You must have meant to ask. Is Terrence Jones?
All right, how about this? Is Kyle Wilcher coached by the same man who coached him this year, you know, 1 year from today?
I think so. I think he'll still be there. I think he loves the adulation way too much to leave unless –
good point.
Again, unless the Miami Heat or the New York Knicks say, you are our guy. We want you. So you're our number one guy, and we want you. But he's not going to be the fifth choice for any, you know, for the Knicks or for potentially the Heat if they flop in the playoffs. That's my take. I think he's back.
Nobody cares what choice you are, I don't think. Here's what I think. He'll be there. I agree with Jeff. Unless, I agree with Jeff, if the Knicks or the Heat or one of the premier jobs want him, like, I don't think the Wizards gets it done. Because at the end of the day, they might pay you a lot of money and you might get to pick John Wall and Anthony Davis, you know, and guess what's happening then? You're going to lose next year. And he ain't down with losing. I think he wants to walk into us because he's already done that once, and he lasted a little more than 2 years. If you're going to leave Kentucky, you're not doing it for a job you think you're going to be out of in fewer than 3 years. And so you go not to a place where you can draft Anthony Davis. You go to a place where you can start winning immediately. And that's probably something like Miami if it were to open, New York, if Phil Jackson were to take it. I guess I'll bottom line this. If I had to bet my own money right now, will he be at Kentucky or not? I'd say yes. But not because he plans to retire at Kentucky. It'll only be because I just don't know if it'll get to that point. I'll say this. If the Knicks want him and they'll pay, he's going to be the next head coach of the Knicks. I believe that. I've always believed that. And it will be true up until the point he there's a story that one of us writes where it says John Calipari rejected an $8 million offer from the New York Knicks. Short of that, I think we'll never know the answer completely. I say that to say this. A couple years ago when it was, you know, he was trying, at least reportedly John was trying to get involved with the Bulls job. well, then he's not the Bulls coach. And people say, see, he was never interested. No, no, no. The Bulls were never interested in him. If the Bulls would have offered John the head coaching job, he would have taken that. And rightfully so. It was a terrific situation. Same thing here. I do not know whether the Knicks are genuinely going to target John Calipari. I have no idea. They might not. But if they do, I'd be shocked if he turns down the job.
All right. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Elsewhere, you know, regarding Kentucky and its title, I guess. Davis, you know, as the game was going on, I kind of took a moment and I was like, you know what, this is pretty awesome that I'm watching a player of this level come in. But, and I was like, well, when will we see another player like that again? And it could be next year. I mean, Nerlens Noel could end up at Kentucky, and maybe that's why ultimately he stays. You know, this is the perfect year to kind of examine that, because you guys did your top 25 and won, obviously, you know, because people want to know. I mean, the season ends and they're already looking forward to next year, and you guys have Kentucky presumptively as the number one team next year, despite the fact that it will lose its six most important players, five of them going early to the draft, and then Darius Miller being a senior. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I don't think has that ever happened where a team has lost its six best players? Like, even UCLA didn't lose six at a time.
No, this has never happened, and I don't know if they'll be number one in the AP or USA Today poll, but I think we're smarter than everybody else, and that's the bottom line, is we've seen all these kids play. We've seen Nerlens Noel, Shabazz Muhammad, Anthony Bennett. If they all do end up at Kentucky, which we think is going to happen, you put them with Kyle Wilcher, who's going to be a 10-year pro. Put them with Ryan Harrow, who transferred from NC State, played a year there, pretty talented. And then three more recruits who have already committed, Archie Goodwin, Alex Poitras, and Willie Cauley's a little bit of a project. But that's a team, especially with the landscape the way it's going to be next year, that I think should be number one. If Noel and Shabazz Muhammad commit and sign with Kentucky, I'm not sure about Anthony Bennett.
Can you give us a percentage on all three of those guys committing to Kentucky, like individually?
Well, I think Noel's probably close to, I would say, like 90%. Shabazz could go either way, Kentucky, UCLA. And I think Anthony Bennett's probably, you know, 70% going to Kentucky.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, what we did, honestly, when we made those projections, we didn't just pick on our own. You know, honestly, I've thought all along Shabazz would end up at UCLA. What we did is we talked to three neutral people who are, as close to the recruiting process as you can get, and we just decided, all right, whatever they tell us, you know, we'll just trust them. And and two of them said Kentucky and one said UCLA. So Kentucky won that. It is by no means a, quote, done deal. But if we're making educated guesses at this point, those are the educated guesses. And, you know, to get back to your initial question, has this ever happened before? No, because there's never been something like what's going on at Kentucky under John right now. It's never happened before. And if the one and done rule didn't exist – like, he says he wants it to not be there, and I get that, but it benefits him because he's the only guy in the country who can reload like this every year. He would never be able to get Nerlens and Shabazz and Poitras and Archie Goodwin and all those guys if they knew there was a two-and-done rule and that Anthony Davis, Michael, and all these guys were going back to school, because ultimately the one thing kids want to do more than play for John Calipari at Kentucky is play. Period, and have playing time. And so if there was a two-and-done rule, then all these Kentucky kids would come back, and they'd obviously be number one again, but he wouldn't be able to reload like this, and there would be gap years at Kentucky. Not the case right now. And the one thing people forgot as they were discussing whether you could win with a bunch of one-and-dones is that it had never been done, because nobody had ever assembled talent like this in one place that's this young. But the one thing that we've known for, you know, 50 years is that if you get the best players, you've got a real shot. And it doesn't matter how old they are. And he's going to consistently get the best players in the country. And I believe that if he stays there another 7-8 years, he's going to win another 2 or 3 titles.
Yeah, but what I'll tell you, Gary, let me interrupt you there. This group was special in that it's two freshmen, Anthony Davis and Gilchrist, were different than most freshmen. Let's be honest. They played hard. They deferred. They didn't care. They were great teammates. They were unselfish. all that. Like, he hit it right with those two. I'm not sure this group next year that comes in, will Shabazz Muhammad be able to do that? Will, I think Nerlens will, because Nerlens is a defensive-minded player. He doesn't care about scoring even less maybe than Anthony Davis. But, again, I just think those two being your two top players and deferring and being like they were, that's what made that team special.
No question. That stuff matters. But that's what made this team what it is. I mean, my favorite stat forever about this Kentucky team will be that Anthony Davis and Michael could go 1 and 2 in the draft, and they were actually 4 and 5 in field goal attempts per game. You go back and look at that Florida team that was great. People forget the back-to-back champions. Torian Green was the leading scorer on that team. It wasn't Al Horford. It wasn't Joe Noah. It wasn't even Corey Brewer. Those are the types of things when you have people completely bought into one goal that makes stuff easier to achieve. And it is why this was, relatively speaking, easy for Kentucky to achieve. They were never really threatened in a real way. I don't believe there was a moment in any game that they played in the NCAA tournament where any of us genuinely thought they were about to lose. But still, I don't know if the John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins teams bought in that way, but they were still very capable of winning a national championship. They just had one bad game. I don't know if the Brandon Knight team last year bought in the same way, but they were 2 wins away from a national championship and maybe just one, considering if they'd have knocked off Connecticut, they'd have got to play Butler in the championship game. So I think my point is this. As long as he keeps recruiting this way, he's going to be in position to win a title every year.
Since 96 Kentucky, where would you put, God bless you, where would you put this Kentucky team? Are they... Do you think they're – well, I mean, Goodman says, you know, if you win a title, you're better than teams that don't win a title. So I still wonder if this – I would take 99 Duke over this team. But I think 05 Carolina and 99 Duke are the only two that I would probably take over this team. And I would have this one just barely ahead of 09 Carolina. Goodman, where would you rank this one in the past 16 years?
I think I'd have it over 05 Carolina, 09 Carolina, 06 and 07 Florida. Those Duke teams were loaded, but I say it all the time, it was different then.
That's true. Yeah, I know. You got the era thing. Yep.
You can't compare what's gone on since the one and done came in. It's a different era. We can't compare those teams to this Kentucky team.
Well, no, we can't. I mean, I have an issue with that because they're both the college basketball teams. Like, we can compare them, just like you can compare the Beatles to Nickelback.
Not to the landscape. Not to the landscape of what's going on in college basketball. Yes, you can look at them talent-wise and say, all right, yes, this Kentucky team stacks right up there in terms of pure talent, how they play them. But the teams around the country are not the same as what they were when there were, you know, in the late 90s. When there were, you know, 10 other teams that were loaded. This year, how many teams were loaded, let's face it, other than Carolina, talent-wise? And then Carolina loses Kendall Marshall.
Yeah.
There weren't that many. And it's not going to change next year, guys. I mean, we went through
next year seems 5, brutal.
And, like, Indiana and Louisville are 2 and 3. That's weak.
Next year seems right now, the outlook on 2012-13, I cannot believe how bleak it looks.
It's brutal.
No, I think that the Carolina teams, 05 and 09, both belong in the conversation. I love the Florida teams, even though they took some losses. I just think that second year when they took losses, it was basically because they were on cruise control. They knew everything that was going to happen for them and matter was going to matter once the tournament started, and I think that's why they took some SEC losses. The 08 Kansas team is consistently left off these lists.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I mean, that team was unbelievable. 37-3. They obviously beat 2-1 seeds at the Final Four to win the national championship. But certainly, and that team had, I think, 5 pros and with Cole Aldrich coming off the bench. And I just think when you look at this Kentucky team, what we're going to be able to know about this team forever. And sometimes we look at, you know, championship teams, we say, man, they had so many pros, or championship teams and we like that Florida team. They had so many pros, but they took some losses that maybe they shouldn't have. So how good were they as a team? And then we see some teams that had, you know, not as many pros, but they were just really good, and they beat everybody the way you're supposed to beat everybody. Well, this Kentucky team this year, they've obviously got pros. I mean, John joked the other night but I think it's true. They could have 6 first-round draft picks on this team. Now, I don't think they will. If I were betting, I'd bet 5 probably. But all 6 guys could go, and then you'd still have Kyle Wiltshire, you know, coming off the bench on that team. So the talent stuff is there. And then, you know, 38-2 and winning your NCAA tournament games by an average of, I believe, 11 points and never being threatened in the tournament. I do think as we look back, this is going to be a team that we talk about as in the modern era, one of the greats.
All right, enough about hoops. Can we go back to New Orleans and share some of our bit?
Go back. I don't want to go back.
Not go back, no. The city does. You know, this was, I think, the best trip I've ever taken from just in terms of my job and having to go somewhere. And it's kind of ridiculous that, you know, there were easily more than 1,000 people there for the media, just kind of required to do their jobs in the city. It's insane. It lived up to it, but it does take, man, does it take a toll on you because, you know,
well,
next
the way
thing, you know,
did it, it did. I mean, you go out and you're getting hammered every night.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, okay. You got to slow down. I mean, you're
Thursday afternoon, we were like, where's Matty Hurricane?
that's the new thing, Matty.
Has anybody seen Matty Hurricane, or is he off the rails again?
Oh man, I got. By the way, Gary, I have your crazy glue from when your sandal broke. So I guess I'll hold on to that.
That was
pretty good. Yeah, Parrish lost a sandal. See, Parrish was looking like a hobo. He didn't have he didn't have socks to the title game. Lost a sandal at one point because it broke on him. I saw him. He was dripping wet from the thunderstorm before the title game.
Yeah, that tie.
The tie. Maybe I'll post the picture of Goodman with the tie to accompany this podcast.
No, you can't do that.
I didn't agree to that.
It was a tough week. Now listen, here's I feel about New Orleans the same way I feel about Vegas, is that you don't need to be there ever for more than 3 days, ever. We were there, I think, 7 or 8 or something stupid like that. The other thing about New Orleans is that it brings out the stupid in everybody, and because nothing closes, you feel like you never need to go home, and because everybody's out on the street, you feel like you need to be out on the street with everybody else. If you could just treat New Orleans as if it were, I don't know, Minneapolis, and say, hey, tonight we're going to go to dinner, and we're going to have our drinks, that's fine, but then, you know, and then we're going to go to another bar and have drinks, but then we're going to shut it down at some point, then you'd be all right. But what happens is...
Well, you certainly wouldn't have to clean vomit off your bathroom door.
Who did that happen with?
You know, you're not going to come clean with that one.
It's all about the kids. Listen, I don't want the folks to think about me. This isn't about me. This is about the kids. The problem with New Orleans is, yeah, they have bathroom doors that can get in your way if you're trying to run to the bathroom real quick. The second part would be, it's like 4:30 in the morning and you're literally walking back to the hotel and somebody will go, you know, there's Harris right there. We ought to probably go play blackjack at 4:30 in the morning. And then there's always somebody who'll say, yeah, that's a good idea. By Sunday, my body had just shut down on me. I think we all walked over to Harris. It was really late. And Norlander, were you with us? You were with us.
No, I bailed. Oh, it was like 3:45 in the morning. I was like, I cannot do this.
It was 3:45 in the morning. And so it's Goodman and his wife, Horowitz, Kaylee Harting was with us from CBS Sports Network. And we got over there and Seth was there. And I just shut it down. I said, I'm going home. I can't deal with this anymore. I got to go. And I just went and put my head in a pillow and got like,
kind of a wuss. Yeah, you bailed.
I did bail. I couldn't do it anymore. Like my body was shutting down. I was over that city, completely over it. Anybody going to New Orleans, you don't need to be there for more than 3 or 4 days. Otherwise, you just start to hate yourself. And if you ever go to sleep after a long night, leave your bathroom door open.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend that. I can't speak from experience, but the story sounds quite dramatic there, Gary. Bourbon Street, the thing about it is, like, everyone stayed at the Marriott there on Canal, which is 4 blocks, you know, 700 yards from Bourbon Street, basically. And so everyone just kind of naturally gravitates toward that, even though it's like the same sideshows every night. I mean, it's horse crap in the street. That's what's most amazing about it is you've got cops on horses and Parrish and Goodman trying to get me to punch a horse every damn night of the week, basically get me thrown in jail. And so the horse is like walking up and down the street.
You wouldn't have wrote that damn basketball column before you got you in jail.
Exactly.
We were trying to save you from yourself.
And but the horse is crap like all over the place. Like
this dude wrote a column following the basketball. Have you got that yet?
What's up?
This dude went to the national championship game and decided he was going to write about the basketball.
It's crazy, right?
Did you watch the game or just the basketball?
No, I did watch the game. I did very much so watch the game and enjoyed it very much. Listen, it was something actually, and I got during like the trophy presentation, you know, they have that rope. They try and rope off the media like in front. I was like standing directly behind like Anthony Davis behind the podium there, and no one kicked me out because I guess I looked the part. But I had to keep an eye on the basketball, which was sitting on the scorer's table. I wasn't leaving that basketball. It was me.
Can't leave the basketball.
It was me and the basketball till the bitter end there. So
imagine how many people were going to wake up Tuesday and be like, I wonder what happened to the basketball.
Exactly.
If only Norlander would have kept a better eye on it.
I almost let an entire nation down there. So.
You almost let the world down. Let's be honest. Let's don't limit it to the nation, the freaking world.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, did you guys feel good about your columns there? I mean,
great about mine.
Yeah.
Me too. I wrote about Anthony Davis.
I wrote about John Calipari.
You know what? Goodman actually suggested. So Sunday morning we have this awesome brunch with all of us at CBSSports.com, and we're assembling what we're going to talk about to prep the title game.
Anybody who ever decides that 10 a.m. is a good time to have breakfast on a Sunday in New Orleans, that's wrong. Meet us at Arby's at 2:30 in the morning if you want to like chat. But Doyle was like, "Yeah, we'll do it at 10 in the morning."
Or Harris might even be better.
Yeah, how about we just get a private table at Harris and we'll hash everything out over there.
Yeah. Well, regardless, Goodman wanted to write about Thomas Robinson and all he's been through.
On the off day. On the off day. Unbelievable. You guys are stupid.
Yeah. I was like, really, Thomas Robinson? What happened? Has he been through some stuff? I've never read that 70 times.
Oh, Goodman, love
you. So really, both of you are kind of crazy when it comes to story ideas. But
hey, listen, can we get to the
don't even start.
Can we get to the real story? The season is over, which means Five for the Weekend gets its glorious
return. Oh, for the Weekend.
Is it this weekend,
nothing
Gary?
Better.
Gary,
no, I'm taking this weekend off
this year.
Listen, Goodman likes to laugh here's the deal. I can't tell you how many times in the preseason last year, Goodman's like, yo, maybe I can just do Five for the Weekend this weekend. He loves that column.
For those that might not be familiar.
What am I going to ask myself today?
Exactly. For those that might not be familiar.
Pace today.
It'll be Gary does a Five for the Weekend column every Friday, and it's basically Parrish just doing what he does every single day of the week, every hour, talking to himself and asking himself questions, only he gets to put it in word form on the internet and get to pose it off as a 700-word column. It's basically the most brilliant con in the history of sports columns.
Yeah, I should just follow something like the I'm going to follow the nets from the game that they cut.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The part of the net that Terrence Jones actually cut, I'm going to follow it, and I will be writing about it Friday for CBSSports.com.
Yeah,
let everybody know exactly what happened to that net.
You're going to ride my coattails there, huh? Okay, fair enough.
This thing, writing about a bat. I thought you were joking up until the point that I really saw like you were really doing it on Monday night.
Yeah, man, I wasn't messing around there. Absolutely. But listen, if I can give you guys fodder to kind of fuel you through the weekend, that's fine. But now I got to top it with something more ludicrous next year. So I don't know if that's even possible.
No. You're going to write about the game next year, or else you're not coming.
Yeah. No, this dude's writing about the scores table. No, the microphone that the guy at the score, the PA announcer at the scores table uses, where does that come from? How does it get to the scores table? And then where does it go after they shut down the final four?
No, he might just do a full-out feature on who is the PA announcer.
We should get a countdown on the college basketball page, like 364 days, 363 days, till Norlander tells you everything you would ever want to know about the microphone at the scores table.
This isn't new, by the way. I mean, we met up after we all filed and ate some, you know, 2:30 a.m. buffet media breakfast at the hotel, and we're like out on the street, and Parrish just points to a piece of wood and goes, Norlander, write about this. So I've been enduring this for. It's straight up.
And you're going to endure. You're going to continue to endure all July.
Oh, that's.
We thought for sure that if we made fun of you enough before you actually started this, you wouldn't really do it. But to your credit, you stood strong. Congratulations on being stubborn and silly.
Hey, do you guys want to do a podcast next week?
No.
No. Okay, just making sure.
Of course we can. I don't care.
Know what I was thinking about doing is going back and looking at our top 100 players from the preseason and seeing what we totally missed and totally didn't.
You guys can do that as a duo.
And then
I'm out of this podcast for a while.
Yeah, I figured you might want to bail on
that. They just retired from the podcast.
Yeah, that's totally cool. Hey, you want to hit anything else here for the listeners, or are we pretty much good?
Hit you in your neck.
Yeah. Okay.
In your stupid basketball. God.
You're gonna need a step stool if you want to hit me in the neck, Gary. So.
Oh, that's a short joke. Now make a hair joke, and you'll complete the combination.
Yeah, you're gonna crack me for being unoriginal when you haven't done anything aside from rail on me for the damn basketball for a week. Come on now, you're as bad as Goodman. Like, honestly.
No, but I continue to evolve the basketball column jokes into something new every time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good deal. I think we'll wrap that up here then.
And I could always catch you because I could always start it with like a serious question. I'd be like, "Hey Norlander, I got a question for you," and you'd be like, "What?" And then I would drop a. Yeah. Where's the basketball at right now? And you'd get all depressed and sad. It reached a point, I think, like Monday afternoon where you were really sad and depressed about it.
No, I was never sad, depressed. However,
he should have to carry around a Wilson basketball entire month of July.
No, you know what I'm going to do?
Seriously.
I'm going to do a video blog next year. I'm going to go to Kentucky, and that ball's going to be in a case, and it's going to be like me, and I'm going to take a picture with it.
There it is. That's my baby.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Hey, fellas, listen, New Orleans was a great time. I really enjoyed it. So thanks for doing it.
Hey, we had a good time with you, too.
Yeah.
And I can't wait until next year. Where are we going to be next year? Atlanta?
I've never been to Atlanta, so I don't know.
You're back to – hey, get on MapQuest and start studying the streets because you're back to being designated driver next year.
That's right.
Great. Thanks,
we expect
guys.
You to know every route, like the back of your hand. You better know it all. In Atlanta.
You need to get addresses on all the parties and go ahead and know this stuff. So we'd be like, take us to the Intersport party and you know exactly where to go. We don't want to get lost next year in Orlando. Start studying.
Okay. Yeah, that reminds me of the red wine teeth story. But we won't get into that for the podcast.
Hey, if you drink red wine, your teeth are gonna start to get red winey. What do you want me to do about it?
Not drink red wine.
You were not Gary Parrish in the moment that I saw you and you cocked your head, turned to me, smiled, and your teeth were no longer white. I mean, that was honestly the scariest moment of the weekend. Like, that was...
Hey, I'm sorry for being sophisticated, Matty Hurricane.
That was anything but sophistication. But, all right, gentlemen, thanks so much. We will be back. Pods will not be running three times a week in the off season, obviously, because...
We don't have
that much to talk about.
We will
still be coming. Don't worry. They'll be coming on the regular, and we'll have plenty to talk about. I still have to get Borzello in for his April appearance at some point. So we'll talk to you very soon. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe, and talk to you later.